Won't you turn in your Bibles, if you would please, to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I'm actually going to have us to look at two passages tonight found in the book of John. First of all, it'll be John 15 verses 13 and 14, and then John 16 verses 5 through 7. My thought tonight is simply this. So you say you don't have any friends. So you say you don't have any friends. Well, let me begin reading. John 15, verse 13 and 14. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And I would also, in conjunction with this verse, remind us of another verse that lets us know that when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for the ungodly. It is commendable, and it's great love that a person lay down their life for their friends, but yet Jesus died for the ungodly. Then look at verse 14. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now in John 16, verses 5 through 7, Jesus said, But now I go my way unto him that sent me, and none of you asketh me whither goest thou. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you in prayer this evening, and we thank you for another service time, another preaching time, another time to again be in church and to gather around the Word of God. But Father, bless now the preaching of your Word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So you say you don't have any friends. Well, now let's return to the text. Would you agree with me that a person that loves you and has your needs at heart is a friend? I'm sure you would say yes to that. Would you say that a person who would die for you would be your friend? And again, the answer would be yes. Now let me ask you, is God the Father your friend? Is God the Son your friend? And then is God the Holy Spirit your friend? And again, the answer is yes. Well, it looks like all of us have at least three friends. Now, sometimes it might be a little debatable. It might be questionable as to whether our friendship with one another is always going to be the same. Sometimes friendships drift. Friendships dwindle. And sometimes attitudes shift. I've known it to happen. I've known people that literally were good friends for many years and then have a falling out, and then that friendship would be severed. I've known that to happen. Have you? Can you think of anybody right now in your mind that were good friends, but that friendship got destroyed for whatever reason? It can happen. But I'll tell you one thing. We have friends tonight that we can always count on. I mean, how oftentimes do we think about, as we consider God, for example, how many times do we ever, or how often rather, do we think of God in terms of our friend? I don't think we're sacrilegious to you by referring to God being our friend. I don't think we're sacrilegious by referring to the Son of God being our friend or the Holy Spirit being our friend. In reality, all three members of the Trinity are our friends. We know that they're much more, though. We know they're God. We know they're perfect. And we can go on and on tonight developing that. But yet in a practical way, they are our friends. Years ago, there was a Speaker of the House. His name was Sam Rayburn. Sam Rayburn was the longest Speaker of the House. He served as Speaker of the House longer than any man in history. Sam Rayburn. There's a story about him that indicates a little bit about the type of person he was. One of his good friends had a teenage daughter who died suddenly. Sam Rayburn shows up at his friend's home the next morning, knocks on the door. Man came to the door. Sam Rayburn said to him, "Is there any way I can help you?" Father told him in deep grief, he said, "I don't think there's anything you can do, Mr. Speaker. Not a thing you can do. We're making all the arrangements." Then Sam Rayburn looked at him. He said, "Have you had breakfast? Have you had coffee?" And the man said, "No, in the midst of everything that we've done, we just haven't taken time for that because we've been grieving and mourning over the loss of our daughter." Well, Sam Rayburn said, Could I fix you a cup of coffee?" He goes in the man's kitchen, fixes a cup of coffee, and they sit down, and he actually takes the liberty, because they were good friends, to serve some breakfast. And they sit down at the table. The friend of Sam Rayburn looked at him. He said, "I thought that you were supposed to have breakfast in the White House this morning." And the Speaker of the House said, "Well, I called the President. And I told him I had a friend who was in trouble. And I couldn't come." Now, I know this. I know that a story like that, we don't know how to take it. But the way I see it is the fact we see a friend that was there for a friend. That's the way I see it. In spite of the man's position, in spite of his power, the second most powerful person, the Speaker of the House, he still had time for a friend. I thank God tonight for friends, don't you? I'm glad for friends. And much could be said about friends. Sometimes we say we have no friends. But I'll tell you, when all of our friends bail out of the boat on us, we still can count on God being our friend. These two chapters of Scripture give us somewhat of an indication, an idea how God the Holy Spirit is our friend. In John chapter 16, Jesus is talking about leaving. He's talking about the Holy Spirit coming. In fact, he even says another comforter. In other words, another meaning another the same kind. You know, in the Bible, interestingly enough, the Greek words are so significant. The word another, like another comforter, it means another of the same kind. So Jesus is saying, "I'm leaving, I'm going back to heaven, but there's coming another comforter who will pick up the slack, so to speak, who will continue giving comfort." And that's what the Holy Spirit does even to us tonight. I think of churches and church people that I think are missing the boat many times in this generation that we're living. Churches are restructuring everything, it seems. And they are doing so to make churches more seeker-friendly. I'm not so sure that people are looking for friendly churches as much as they're looking for friends. Friends. And I think tonight that we have friends even here, don't you? I believe I have friends tonight in this building. And you can look around and you can say the same thing. But I'll tell you, there's a friend tonight that sticketh closer than a brother, though. And I'm talking about the Lord. And then I'm talking about the one that He sent. The one tonight that ministers to our needs. The one tonight that comforts us. The one tonight that's beside us. The one tonight that speaks to our hearts and reminds us of the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave the proof of His friendship. And even though He was leaving them, He talked about another comforter that would come. They would receive ongoing help from the Lord. This passage points out, I'm looking at John 16. It points out the source for real comfort, peace, and help. Jesus spoke about the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God when He would leave His disciples. He made it clear He had to leave in order for the Holy Spirit to come, and then after He came, He would serve in a capacity, among other things, as comforter. Now tonight, we all need comfort, don't we? Boy, I sure do from time to time. And I know every one of you do. We need comfort. He would provide comfort. Those that hurt need comfort. That is a fact. How many of you from time to time have hurt? Let me see your hands. All of us have hurt. You need comfort when you hurt. You need help. You need encouragement. And the Spirit of God specializes in giving us comfort when we hurt. The comfort provided by the Holy Spirit would be given, and here's what I want us to see. It would be given in accordance to one powerful medium. You ready for this? The Holy Spirit comforts us in a very unusual way. You want to know what that way is? He glorifies Jesus Christ. He glorifies Jesus Christ. You see, by the Holy Spirit glorifying Jesus Christ and revealing Him to us, that gives us comfort. In fact, when you stop and think about it tonight, when the Holy Spirit puts the spotlight upon Jesus Christ, that comforts us. We don't think about it that way, do we? The real key for real comfort is seeing the Savior as who He is, for what He is, for what He has done, and for what He's doing right now. Do you know if there be any spiritual comfort that we could derive, it has to be somehow connected to our dear Lord's ministry. And it's just like the Holy Spirit comes along and He says, look to Jesus, look what He's done, look what He is doing, look what He will do. The Spirit of God has a way of comforting us by reminding us of who we have in our Savior. The greatest comfort is not by receiving things, but the greatest comfort is by seeing Him. By seeing Him. You see, you will not find lasting comfort in this world. None of us will. Real comfort is not to be received by because of things, because of health, because of provisions. We have to be dealing with God to get real comfort. The key verse that unlocks the truth of the avenue of comfort is in chapter 16, verse 14. Let me read it. Chapter 16, verse 14. You may want to look at that verse with me. Verse 14. Verse 14. Jesus said, He shall glorify Me, for He shall show it of Mine, shall receive of Mine, and show it unto you. We cannot take it lightly that in the same chapter where Jesus talks about the Comforter, He also talks about the fact that the Spirit of God would glorify Him. So that leads to the conclusion tonight. Comfort comes by our viewing, by our recognizing, by our beholding the wonderful Savior. And no one does any better at making that truth known than the Holy Spirit. Now, you know what? There's a lot of religions out in this world tonight. I mentioned that this morning, that are preaching different things. One particular religion out there, you know what it preaches? It preaches, it puts the spotlight more on the Holy Spirit than it does on Christ. There's a movement out there that puts the emphasis on the Holy Spirit. Have you received it? I don't even like that. That's disrespectful anyway. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He's a personality. You know, when I first got saved, I was so zealous to learn all I could learn that I didn't really have any discernment as far as churches even. And I remember one time, in fact, when I got saved, I was so thrilled to have a sense of my sins forgiven and to have peace with God, that I wanted to be in church whenever I could find an opportunity, whenever the doors were open, and I mean it didn't make any difference what door was open. I went into a Pentecostal church, and I mean everything was moving in that church. I mean there wasn't one steady person in the whole building, moving all the whole time, running around. One guy lit out running. He left me. He took off running. He runs around. He comes back. Then he stands right beside me again. He wipes his brow. He said, wow. He said, man, he said, something got a hold of me. But the preaching, and then they had people to come forward. And then they'd sit in a chair. And then they'd lay hands on that person. then that person would keel over dead. I've been there. I've seen that happen. And then throughout the message, it was a total constant emphasis upon the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. That's the thrust. Receive the Holy Spirit. But the point is this. We can thank God for the Holy Spirit. But you can tell if a movement is of God or not by where the spotlight is placed. I believe the Holy Spirit, when He operates, He puts the spotlight upon Jesus Christ. Because the verse said, Jesus said, He shall glorify me. He shall glorify me. And that's how to tell if a movement is of God or not. He shall glorify me. Now again, I come back to what I originally said. When the Lord is glorified, whether it's in church, whether it's in our hearts, our lives, that's when we're the most comforted. When Christ is lifted up. Now, sometimes some things aren't fully understood. I know that. But you think back. The times in your life when you have been blessed and encouraged the most spiritually, hasn't it been times when, let's say, you sensed the tender presence of Christ, His love, His compassion, His care, and you felt like you could conquer the world at that point because you can sense that God is so close to you? How did that happen? The Holy Spirit is working. It's the Holy Spirit of God that lifts up Christ. And when the Lord is lifted up, we're comforted. We're comforted. Only the Holy Spirit can make these truths clear. Now, three quick points tonight. How is His friendship seen? Question. How's the Holy Spirit's friendship seen? How is it? Number one, here it is. His friendship is seen in communication. He shows, now think with me now, He shows, He reveals, He makes known Christ to His own. He communicates. Now, let's bring this down to a personal level. Husbands, wives, children, parents, what is it we hear the most? Communication, right? Communication breaks down, everything goes to pot. That's true in a church. That's true in marriages. That's true when it comes to the matter of friendship development, communication. You talk. You communicate. You converse back and forth. You listen. You share. Now, how is the Holy Spirit a friend? He's a friendship in communication. He shows, He reveals, He makes known. He, for example, communicates the truth of God's Word to us. He lets us understand the Scriptures. He's the one that opens our understanding. He communicates the truth. The Holy Spirit shows us these things. Now, teacher, be encouraged about something. When you go to your Sunday school classes and you start teaching sometimes, you might feel like you're getting nowhere. You might think that sometimes those kids don't even understand you. Or maybe sometimes they're not getting it. And sometimes we preachers feel that way. We sometimes are wondering who might be getting it. When you see people do dumb things off of church pews, you do sometimes wonder who's getting it. But yet, I'm glad that there's always been a remnant according to grace. Always, there's always some people that are getting it. Communication is taking place. But teachers, here's my encouraging word to you. You're only a secondary communicator. You're only an assistant teacher. The best you are is an assistant teacher. It's the Holy Spirit of God that has to open the understanding, that has to give a clear understanding of what the Bible says. And here's what I've learned down through the years. You drop the Word of God on people's doorstep, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit of God can take the bare Word and get through to people. Just give them the bare Word. You don't have to parse every word. You don't have to even define every word. Just be faithful teachers in giving out the Word of God, because after all, you're the assistant teacher. The Spirit of God is the one that has to do the real teaching. That's a friend, isn't he? Because he communicates. He communicates. He shows the words of Christ to us. He communicates the words. He opens our understanding of the Bible. He shows us the nature of Christ. We see the Lord as to who He is. We're comforted because the Spirit of God shows us who Jesus is, what He's done. We see His offices. The Holy Spirit reminds us of the three major offices of Christ: prophet, priest, king. Prophet, priest, king. You realize that as prophet, He said enough. As priest, He does enough. And as king, He will be powerful enough. Prophet, priest, king. The Holy Spirit puts a spotlight upon those offices. We see Him tonight as Savior. We see Him as interceding King. Why? The Holy Spirit lets us know that. We see Him as coming King. I meant to say interceding priest, but coming King. The Holy Spirit points out to the people the mission of Christ coming to this world. He points out the love of Christ. That's communication. I can tell you this by way of a personal testimony. I've been reading the Bible sometime personally, and it seems as dry as a bone. I just keep reading. Then all of a sudden, I sense the blessings of the Lord. The Holy Spirit puts my eyes on a passage and gives me a thought and an understanding of that passage. And I can see through that passage of Scripture the love that God has for me, the tender compassion, and the blessings of the Lord. My friend, the Holy Spirit is a friend because He communicates. He lets us see Christ better. He lets us appreciate the Bible. You see, a friend will do you good. Friends will treat you right. Friends will not hold back that which you need. The Holy Spirit is a friend. He's not, let me tell you something. There is not a, can I put this in human terms? Human terms. There's not a jealous bone in the Holy Spirit's body. If I can use that just for application. The Holy Spirit is all delighted that all the spotlight goes upon Jesus Christ. Jesus said, when He has come, He'll not speak of Himself. He'll glorify Me. That's communication. That means He certainly is a friend. He communicates the fact of the Savior's intercession. He makes it clear to the hearts of God's people of the Lord's provision. And by the way, He helps us to understand the Lord's provision, not just a matter of history, but ground for a continual flow of grace and mercy day by day. You see, day by day and with each passing moment, we continually draw from the well, draw from the water. So the Holy Spirit is our friend. His friend, number one, in communication. And number two, He's a friend in commitment. I hope you don't think I'm wearing that one statement out, but I'm going to mention it again. He shall glorify Me. His commitment. He's committed to the Lord. Now, have you ever heard the expression? I have. Have you ever heard it put like this? If so-and-so is your friend, they're my friend. You ever hear that said? In other words, the point being, if my friend is your friend, then I'm okay with you. Then I'm okay with you. Now, here's the thing. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus Christ. When He does that, He shows He loves us. He's our friend as well. Because, again, when Christ is lifted up, then we're the happiest. You know, one of the most miserable experiences I've been in my life has been when I've been in churches where the Lord wasn't honored. You ever been there? Where Christ wasn't exalted. I've been placed where the Lord wasn't even preached. Gospel wasn't even preached. And a church is a miserable experience if Jesus is not central. It's a miserable experience. Don't you feel sorry? Don't you feel sorry for people today? I'm talking about this Lord's Day, that have sit in churches everywhere and have not heard a clear gospel message preached of the saving grace of God. That's terrible. You see, we're not used to that, are we? We're used to the gospel being preached. But imagine those that are denied that privilege. But I tell you, whenever you step in a church where the Word of God is open and Christ is being preached and preachers preach the gospel, that has a tendency to brighten, to encourage, to lift up, to edify the congregation. I just believe that when He is lifted up anywhere, we're blessed. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. You can take that and you can make some application with that. He, the Spirit of God, His commitment, exalt Christ, He does that in and through a believer, too. In and through a believer. Every old sinner saved by grace you see walking around, you know what they're doing? They're exalting the Lord's grace. They are a walking testimony of what God has done. And the Lord is exalted. You see, He's a divine communicator. His divine commitment. And here's the thing that thrills me time and time again. You see, He shows Jesus Christ to the weakest and most ignorant. He really does. We need to understand that the Holy Spirit of God is the greatest communicator to everyone. And again, just a point to our teachers. Your visual aids are nothing compared to the visual aids that the Holy Spirit uses as you give out God's Word and Christ is lifted up. Now finally, our friend, the Comforter, His friendship in comfort, verse number 7 of chapter 16. Verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient or necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I'll send Him unto you. You'll notice in verse 6, the word sorrow is used. They were in sorrow. They could not stand the thought of their Lord leaving them. Then He turns around and tells them if He doesn't leave them, the Holy Spirit or the Comforter will not come. So He, the Holy Spirit, looks upon the second member of the Godhead body, namely Christ. He exalts Him and that comforts us. Have you ever thought, I know I have, how in the world could God see anything in us? How could the Lord see anything worth saving? Have you ever thought sometimes, I feel like I'm the worst specimen of a sinner that God ever saved? I hate to burst any of our bubbles, but my bubble will be burst too when I'm about to make this statement. Not only were we the worst case of sinners when God saved us, but we were even blow worst in reality. Sometimes it takes a while to factor that in, but I'm telling you, there wasn't a single one of us that deserved God's grace. And then to think that God would come into us in the person of the Holy Spirit, our old weakness, our old sinfulness, He would save us, He'd sweep out the cobwebs of sin, so to speak, clean up the vessel. And then we wake up a day after we're saved, and we have an old bad thought again. Or we mess up again. And we find out we're still not there. But yet through it all, we still sense God's presence now, His joy. We know if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And because of His grace, we still can be restored. And the Spirit of God still is working within us and through us, and Christ is being magnified. What a blessing it is that God would choose unworthy, hell-deserving sinners to take up his residence in. I preach a message sometimes, where is God? You know where God is? I believe his presence is in this church. I believe he's behind creation. We see his presence everywhere. But where is God? He's in you tonight, saved person. God is in you and me. You know, that's a true statement, if I ever made a true statement. God is in every believer. And I can prove it if you'll let me. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Which you have of God, you're not your own, you're bought with a price? Question. Is the Holy Spirit God? Yes or no? I've heard Brother Jim, and that's kind of faint with the rest of you all. I want to repeat that. Is the Holy Spirit God? Yes or no? Yes. He is God. Now, if his presence is in us, is it true then God is in us? We're not deity, but God is in us. What a blessing. To think that God takes up his dwelling in the presence of his people. Now, a quick example, and I'm just about done. You talking about inadequate? You talking about unworthy? You talking about sinful? Sometimes we still, yes, we sin. There's not a day that goes by but what we don't sin in some way, shape, or form. Don't be pious. It's a fact. How do we sin? We sin in two veins, two ways. We sin by doing that which is wrong. Then we sin by not doing that which is right. We can call those sins of omission sins of commission. But every one of us, not a single one of us can get through a day but what we don't sin. I'm not proud of it. I wished I didn't. And that's true of all of us that are saved. We wish we didn't sin. We find ourselves agreeing with Paul time and time again. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? We get sick and tired. It hurts us. It hurts our testimony. It grieves the Spirit of God. It mars our progress. It'd be good if we didn't sin. But there's one aspect of us that's just as contaminated and ungodly as the day it was when Christ met us at the cross. And that's called our human nature. Fallen nature. But in spite of that, God still, because of his grace, still was willing to save us and come into our being and take up his residence.